Welcome everyone to this meeting of the full council on the 9th of September 2025. Can I please ask this time, can everyone hear me? Item 1 on the agenda. I move approval of the minutes of the meeting of the council held on 22nd of July 2025 as published on the council website. Item 2 on the agenda. Apologies, Bob Sims.
Madam Mayor, I've received apologies from Councillor Allegheller, Councillor Piagella, Councillor Godfrey, Councillor McNaughton, and Councillor Reid.
Thank you. Item 3. Do we have any declaration of interest on any matter arising this evening? Councillor James.
Item 6, Madam Mayor.
Can you justify the interest, please?
My other half owns the post office.
Oh, that's okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Could I put a prejudicial interest in on the item 10, please?
In fairness, I think it's probably for the leader of the council. The petition reads as follows. It's about protecting our town from overdevelopment in Eccleshall. And it reads as follows. The town of Eccleshall has grown by 350 homes in the last 10 years and now has just over 1,500 homes. With a primary school, secondary feeder school and doctor surgery at capacity, and a high street that lacks car parking, and navigating the high street can be difficult. Eccleshall is seen as one of the best market towns in Staffordshire on a regular basis for its charm, individual house design and high street, amongst other things. However, with the prospect of four major house builders putting in planning applications for over 1,000 new homes across six different sites, this threatens overdevelopment by, firstly, destroying many of the elements that make Eccleshall one of the best places to live in Staffordshire. Two, providing little new infrastructure to counteract the potential growth in population. and three, changing permanently the way the town has developed over centuries by overdevelopment. If mass-scale development goes on unchecked, it will ruin the historic settlement of Eccleshaw. We ask that Stafford Borough Council, Staffordshire County Council, Stafford and Eccleshaw's Member of Parliament and statutory planning consultees think again and instead find a way of ensuring that development only happens in a positive way that does not undermine the very fabric of our communities, for example in Eccleshaw, Woodseaves and Nosel, and that sufficient cross-partner working is undertaken to look at the cumulative impact of any development and that any houses permitted are done on an equitable basis across the borough with appropriate infrastructure to meet the growing requirements. Madam Mayor, this petition has had 3,332 signatures online. It has been viewed no less than 85,400 times. It has a further 867 signatures offline, making a total of 4,199 signatures. Residents of Eccleshaw Ward, and there are approximately 5,200 of them, so the petition speaks for the vast majority of them, are not against development. Far from it, they are against overdevelopment. What was voted Staffordshire's best village just this year is at risk from rampant mass overdevelopment. Developers are about to try and change centuries of managed growth with style and attractiveness going and instead replaced with estate upon estate. The infrastructure cannot cope today. There is no car parking to support the high street. The doctors are already full. The school is full towards capacity and there is flooding, as was shown last Thursday, when there was service water mixed with raw sewage floating down the main street. These issues need fixing first before any development should be considered. As a settlement, Eccleshaw has taken the most houses over the past 14 years of the key service villages, with 332 new homes built on the original 1,379. That's a 25% increase. What the signatories to this petition want is, firstly, for Eccleshaw to only take its fair share of the increased housing numbers in Stafford Borough and not become overrun with developers for years to come. Two, for policymakers to make sure development happens in a strategic way rather than just because a developer has an option on some land. This could be by fast-tracking the evidence base of the new global plan, or it could be by using instruments like interim policy statements, as has been successfully done in Cornwall. And three, for the Borough Council to put pressure on government to take back control of the planning system. The Member of Parliament has already met with the Minister for Housing to present some arguments, but what is this council doing? Is it writing to government, lobbying and using the District Council's network to push for appropriate changes that are fair to all in this borough? The residents of Eccleshaw Ward and neighbouring wards are quite rightly really annoyed at the prospect that they are facing and the risk that is there, and they want to hear some solutions to the mess that we're in. And as a result, I'd like to present the petition from Eccleshaw Ward.
Of those are classed as the last shot.
services, in post, banking, government services, and utility bill payments. There is also within the community 1,500 communities that are serviced by outreach and mobile post offices. The risks to the network can be summarised in three. Firstly, the digital revolution. In 2024, they claim that 97% have access to super fast broadband. I think that is not quite correct in the rural areas. And this is up 60% from the services that were available in 2012. There is a promise of gigabyte broadband to be installed across the country by 2030. And I question whether that will be achieved. The key drivers for the post office to look at the whole network is that the key partners, banking, ends in 2030, so a new contract will have to come forward. Royal Mail, the contract ends in 2032, so a new contract needs to come forward. And then there's the DVLA and the passport offices that have various clauses for their going to renew their contracts. And the final risk, of course, is remuneration. Now, unless we protect the rural post offices, then what are people going to do? There are no banks in the area unless the services offered by the post office. You can see that communities are going to be disadvantaged across the board. Deputy Leader.
Thank you, Member. In the absence of the leader, he has nominated Councillor Hood to respond to you as it falls within a community book problem.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Jones. I'd like to thank you for bringing forward this consultation to our attention. I fear that had you not have done, it would have just passed and we wouldn't have had the opportunity to reply to it. I'm sure most of you know that Councillor James helped his wife run the post office, so he's very well qualified to speak about this. And one of the questions in the consultation that has been brought forward is number 22, which asks, postmasters should be able to input more than they currently do into government's decisions on the post office. The answer is strongly disagree, etc. Well, of course they should. They have the local knowledge of their community who use their post office, as Councillor James has just demonstrated in his short speech there. Disappointingly, we don't have any officers who have the expertise to actually deal with this consultation. But I'm sure we all agree that the post office offers a service we must try to retain, not just for the rural areas, but also for the urban areas, for those who are not digital. As the response time deadline is the 6th of October, I'm happy to work with you, Councillor James, to provide a response on behalf of the Council, and very much look forward to meeting the black and white cat. Thank you.
Councillor James. Do you wish to ask a supplementary question?
Sorry, say that again.
Do you wish to ask a supplementary question?
No, I think I'm happy with the response I've received from my two friends.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I welcome what the Cabinet Member is proposing and be more than happy to get involved. My reflection on this is really simple, that when I first joined this Council, one of the first campaigns I was involved with was the closure of the last bank in Ecclesfield, NatWest as was, and we'd lost the HSBC a couple of years before. And it was as if people didn't understand the importance of banking. This is sort of, this will be 14 years ago. And interestingly, that building is only just being occupied now, 14 years later. It was a linchpin to the high street, and For what we lost, it was one of the key service providers. And for the banks, read pubs. And I reflect at the number of pubs we've lost across our communities. And they all provide fundamental services to our residents. And so I just wanted to say a few words about the post office, because for generations the post office has been more than just a place to send letters or collect parcels. It's been a trusted service, a familiar face, and a symbol of reliability. And when there's an age where so much is moved online, the post office remains one of the few physical spaces where people can access essential services close to home. And I think they provide three essential services. The first one is more than just posting parcels and paying bills. It's banking services, it's licences, it's all the everyday essentials, Madam Mayor. And for many people, particularly in the rural areas, it's the only accessible point for these services. Second of all, I think they support local economies. And the moment you remove the income from the post office for that shop that is doubling up as a village shop, then you fundamentally undermine the viability of those shops. It's like a three-legged stool. You remove one of the legs and it's bound to fall over. And that's what we've seen with any number of the different other services that I've described. And so they create footfall for shops and help small businesses with mailing and logistics, and they do so much more. And the third thing they do is they combat isolation. For older residents who may not be as confident online or have access to online, they are certainly valued face-to-face contacts. And the post office is often a lifeline. It's a place to be recognised, to have conversations and to feel part of the community. And I was in mine just yesterday posting some stuff. And it's where you find out what's going on in your communities often. So the truth is, when we lose a post office, we lose far more than a counter. We lose a hub of trust, we lose a lifeline for residents and an anchor for our communities. That is why it's so important that we support the post office network, and not just by using their services, but also recognising the wider role they play in society. They are about people, they're about places, they're about the power of community. And we must do everything that we can to ensure they remain strong and accessible. And so I really appreciate what you've proposed, and I would like to make sure that we have a really robust response that goes into government so we don't lose any of our post offices.
Thank you, Councillor Bowles. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Okay. Thank you. We go on to item number 7, notice of motion. Is it moved? Item 8, recommendations referred from Cabinet. UK Share Prosperity Fund. Hello, Knight, Councillor Kenny.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. But just to highlight some of what the previous branch of UK SPF money invested in Stafford Town Centre, was focused on both short and long term regeneration plans, with funding enabling both the installation of new Christmas lighting and the purchase of the former co-op. Instead, the less facilities benefited from investment in the form of solar panels on the roof of the leisure centre, which brings both environmental and financial benefits over the long term. Stone First Stats also received support with renovations to the building, which keeps the facility in community use. Along with the canoe club, they now have new lane out car parking. And with regard to culture and history, through investments at the Cranmore Theatre in Stone, which supported the fit out of the premises, which also hosts community groups, societies, and schools, and offers a variety of volunteer opportunities. There was also a contribution towards the Staffordshire History Centre, and the main theme across is supporting local businesses. So that was what happened, a brief idea of what happened within the first tranche of money. So we've now received the second tranche of money that we applied for. That's the sum of £1,528,000 and Rural England Prosperity Fund of £146,000. And the main part of the reason for bringing this to council is that you can support the recommendation that the current capital programme be amended to accommodate some of £282,200 in respect of UK SPF and £146,355 in respect of REPF to ensure delivery of capital projects identified in the UK SPF programme for 2025-26. And it's important that we do this because the time runs out at the end of March, we have to get it done, and we're halfway through the year, but we've got that. Anyway, so if you can just take the rest and as laid out. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gannon. Is that seconded? Thank you, Councillor Bird. Any comments? Councillor Reading.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to congratulate the staff team. They've done an amazing job on this, in the first tranche, and the work they're doing on the second tranche, and it's brought immense benefit to this borough. So I'd like that to be passed on to them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Assuming it goes through.
Thank you.
It's no more comments.
Those in votes, please. Those who
are
in favour, sorry. Anyone against?
Unanimous carried. Thank you.
Tax licence and policy and conditions. I invite Councillor Gordon to move the recommendations.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As members are aware, Council has a statutory obligation to protect public safety by ensuring that licensed vehicles are fit for purpose and that licensed drivers are fit and proper persons. To discharge this obligation, the Council requires a policy framework to guide decision making concerning the licensed trade or individuals in it. This framework is updated every 5 years. This is the 5-year form. The policy before us provides clear guidance as to how the taxi and taxi licensing process works and explains how officers and members will make decisions relating to the licensing of vehicles, drivers, and operators. Once approved, it will replace the current policy that has been updated to incorporate suitability guidance from the Institute of Licensing, amendments to clarify and reinforce current requirements, requests from the trade, and initiatives to improve air quality. The latter include the gradual phasing out of diesel and petrol engine vehicles and the introduction of electric and hybrid vehicles. Members will note that from April 27, no licences will be given for Euro 4 or 5 category vehicles. From April 28, first-time licences will only be given for electric, hybrid or hydrogen-powered vehicles. In other words, internal combustion engine vehicles will be excluded. From 2030, the target is for all vehicles to be hybrid or electric or running on hydrogen, though this date will remain subject to review. Also, from the adoption of the proposed policy, hackney carriages will be not only white, but able to be licensed as black in response to a request from the trade. Also, proprietors of wheelchair-accessible hackney carriages, once the vehicle has been licensed to the council for a period of 8 consecutive years, to the proprietor will be permitted to license a saloon vehicle as a hackney carriage should they so wish. Now, members can review the full report on the council's website within the cabinet minutes of 28th of August. Members will note that the proposed policy has been subject to an 8-week consultation involving local trade and other stakeholders. I'd like to thank officers for their considerable efforts in pulling together this policy, and I propose adoption of the recommendations before us in sections A, B, C and D of our agenda. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Is that seconded?
I'd like to second that formally. Reserve the right to speak. Thank you.
Any comments?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Could I ask, have we written to Wolverhampton about the conduct of their taxis that are all over the place on the basis that A, they don't have the same scrutiny that we insist on how the taxis we license, and also that it's clear that they're local because they're the ones who know where all the potholes are on the roads?
Thank you, Councillor James. Well, it's certainly not difficult to find in Wolverhampton a licensed taxi anywhere, is it? In fact, I think a few passed me today when I passed them, probably more than that. I can't answer the question directly, but no conversations have taken place. So if you'll allow me, I'll respond to you later.
Thank you. Any more comments?
Serves as an honorary and recognises the judge's connection to the borough. The appointment of an honorary recorder will recognise the position of the borough as a centre for the administration of justice in the county. The previous honorary recorder of Stafford, the Honour Judge Christina Montgomery KC, has recently come to the end of her term of office as resident judge at Stafford Crown Court. Her successor at Stafford is his Honour Judge Abbott through you, Madam Mayor, I would like this council to record their thanks to the Honourable Judge Christine Montgomery for her term as an honorary recorder of Stafford. The Honourable Judge Abbott Mukherjee has indicated that he would be honoured to take the appointment if the council was minded to continue with this position. I therefore propose that this council appoint his honour judge, Abbott Mukherjee, as an honorary recorder of the Borough of Stafford during his tenure as resident judge of Stafford Crown Court.
Thank you,
Councillor.
Is that seconded? Any comments?
I could add, of course, that it's not only ourselves, not only humans that are at risk, it is many species throughout the world that are at risk from the change that's happening in our climate. The introduction talks about the purpose of the report, and states that in 2019 we agreed to declare a climate emergency and a target date of 2040 to achieve net zero. Those of you with long memories may recall that it is over 6 years ago that I proposed a motion on declaring climate emergency, which was amended but agreed that we should declare such an emergency with a target date of 2040. Good progress has been made, but the fact is that global warming is increasing at a faster pace than anticipated. And we have made good progress, and we now have a climate change strategy and action plan which will enable us as a council to deal with our carbon emissions. The fact is that we need to and want to be more ambitious than we have been previously. And therefore we are proposing a target of 2035 for zero carbon emissions. We have, as the document sets out, a significant climate change delivery programme in development. And this is based on the climate change pillars that are identified in the climate change strategy. These being the corporate assets, transport, community engagement, business engagement, and sustainability education. So as a council, we're going to be focusing on corporate assets and transport. You will note that there is no request for additional revenue budget funding to support this. But I'll mention the issue of funding later. The action plan will be reviewed annually. Performance against it is going to be tracked by the Climate Action Board. Bearing in mind this is going to be a joint exercise with Cambridge Chase Council, and it will be chaired by a Cabinet Member for Climate Action and Nature Recovery in both councils alternatively. And they will meet on a quarterly basis. Now, I mentioned the issue of funding. We have secured funding through the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, which we were discussing earlier. And stage one of our approach will be to review the assets in both councils and their suitability towards decarbonisation. A priority list will be drawn up, and it will show those where significant savings can be made by reducing energy consumption. It will also, in the second phase, look at where we can invest money to again reduce our carbon emissions, but also to save money in terms of the revenue spending. Detail in 519 are some of the elements in the Climate Delivery Action Plan, including building an integrated carbon monitoring platform with centralised and automated data collection systems, green energy procurement, LED lighting, solar PV, etc., replacement fleet and machinery, and installation of EV charging points, sustainable living campaigns, energy advice and assistance, business growth programmes including Green Solutions and Rural Aid and Prosperity Funds, and the school's climate education programme. The report also talks in paragraph 5.2 about staffing. It says here interviews will take place. In fact, interviews have taken place today for the two posts that will be responsible for delivering this programme. In the next paragraph, it talks about financial implications, and it makes it clear that this will be dependent on applications for external grant funding. But Mayor, we are intending to be ambitious in our approach, because the fact is that climate change is an existential threat to us all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Is that seconded? Any comments?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We hear all too often about the bankruptcy of councils and the messes that they get themselves into by taking an issue and trying to address that, but trying to address it in ways that aren't properly thought through, costed, and with an appropriate plan against them. I reflect that we're here to represent our residents, and the pastor very neatly and perfectly identified that we need to represent our residents with knowledge, skills and insight. And whilst I absolutely accept climate change is happening, you only have to reference my conversation earlier about flooding in Eccleshill. The long hot summer we've just had, I think in the last 5 years we've had the two hottest summers, so I don't think anyone can argue, well, I'm sure that someone can argue against climate change, but I'm not proposing that. But I do think that our residents expect, and that's why they vote us in, us to act with diligence and common sense. And the real problem I have, and I want to just address my comments to the recommendation, which is 2.1, paragraphs 3.3, and the paragraph on risk, 6.4. So the problem I have with the proposal, as it stands, is that there is, and it accepts under paragraph 3.3, there is no Stafford Borough Council costed plan. So what's being asked this evening is for us to sign up to something that we don't understand the consequences of. And that would seem to need to be absolutely foolhardy. It's not a problem that we shouldn't be ambitious, but to have no costed plan, no additional funding, particularly at a time of such significant change with local government reorganisation, feels to me like, on one hand, we're leaving the problem to the next council that may or may not come along the line. And so I couldn't support this recommendation as it stands, because it doesn't have sufficient due diligence and sufficient insight and maturity to demonstrate that we need to be moving the date.
Thank you, Councillor Bird. Any further comments,
Mr. Jones? Can I second?
Councillor Rose, do you want to speak with us about?
Yes, thank you, Deputy Mayor. 2024 was the first year global temperatures exceeded the 1.5 degrees limit that was agreed in the 2015 Paris Agreement. Since then, we've seen an increased amount and the ferocity of storms, named storms as well. This year is similar to the warmest and driest years in decades. I think we could look around the room and ask many of the farmers in the council chamber that this year has really affected the agriculture in this country. And I understand Councillor Burke's points about the costings of this, but the costings of not being more ambitious, not pushing towards this reduced target, will be far greater than any cost of reducing our carbon emissions. And if the council
knows that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I share the concerns about paragraph 3.3, and it does say here, whilst there is no Stafford Borough costed plan. Now, it's a little bit like cart before the horse, because without the cost of this and whether it's achievable, we can't really say we're going to do this by 2035. And it's quite simple. If we don't know how much it's going to cost, how can we commit to this? We've got working with Cannock Council, we've got local government's organisation coming up as well. And I just feel slightly uncomfortable that we would commit this council to possible bankruptcy if we follow this as it is. If we could take that, the
find some reassurance around the costings, I wouldn't have a problem. As Councillor Rose said, it's obvious that we have climate change, sporadic weather episodes. As a farmer, I don't know when I get up in the morning whether I'm going to be in the Sahara Desert or on a tropical island worrying about being flooded. That's the sort of effect this is having on industry. We cannot plan day to day without this. I do hope that Stafford Borough, in a very small way, will be able to do something on this, but I do worry that without a proper costing, we are committing the council to being in a slightly strange place. And I also wonder if it ought to be a named vote on that basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to propose an amendment to the recommendation 2.1 to read as follows. That Council approves the change of date for the Council's net zero target from 2040 to 2035 once there is a properly, fully costed Stafford Borough Council plan in place. This is an aspirational target date which reflects, etc., etc.
So the debate now is on the amendment, not on the. So we'll speak on the amendment, not on the.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think this picks up exactly the point that I was making, which was there needs to be a properly, fully costed Stafford Borough Council plan in place before we can bring forward any date, because then at least we'll have an understanding. We will go into that recommendation, that decision, with full knowledge, and it isn't foolhardy. It's not risking the Borough Council's position long term, whilst accepting that there is climate change. I don't think anyone in this chamber has suggested there isn't. But to give you an example, the cost of an electric refuse truck can be up to £560,000 versus the current cost of just under £200,000. Now, I'm not putting money before climate, but we need to understand absolutely what the Borough Council is signing up to. And that is what I think our residents would have expected us to come forward with. So at least there is a clear and transparent way forward. I will be supporting the amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Burns. Councillor
Morton,
did you
want to comment? Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I think the members opposite are rather missing the key point incorporated in 6.1 of this report, which accepts that the council does not have significant facilities available to funders, and will therefore be dependent on applications for external grant funding. These applications for such funding are going to have to justify their use. So I think in essence their point is covered off in the report. Thank you.
When the initial date of 2040 was set, there was an untake costed plan in place, so I think it's important to note that the members opposite, many of them voted for that date at that time. So I think there's a degree of kind of confusion why for a change of 5 years, when we accept that this is an urgent issue, that we should now have a costed plan in place in order to move forward on this. My argument would be, in order to make sure that the council officers, this council is properly instructing our officers, that we wish to move this to 2035 and make a plan, we make this decision today. The other thing is that it clearly says this is an aspirational target. That says we aspire to hit 2035. We would like to hit 2035. The best time to look at climate change is when I was still in school, and the second best time to deal with it is now. And if we can hit 2035, all the better. If we don't hit 2035, we're not going to be fined for it. It's not going to be the end of the world, but building in that aspiration to our aims and objectives at this point in time, as soon as possible, is quite possibly, certainly for someone who it's going to impact in my lifetime, one of the most important things that this council can do. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor,
mine was the same way, 2039.
Madam Mayor, Councillor Pearce can speak at the end of this debate before Councillor James. So if there's anyone else who wants to speak.
Councillor James.
This is talk about the amendment. So okay. Councillor James has the right to reply at the end and Councillor Pearce immediately before.
Okay.
No other comments,
Councillor. Thank you. I totally understand with the objections, obviously the objectives I should say, that you put forward. I would be happy though to see at least a plan that's been set out for aims over the next number of years so that we can at least have an idea of what it is that the opposition is considering. If we know, by this day we'd like to achieve this, by this day we'd like to achieve that, when we're working with a county council that has thrown all their plans out the window, it would be a good idea for us to at least have some idea of the objectives and have some basic ideas of the costing. As my fellow councillors have already said, that's all I should say. Thank you, Councillor Phillips. Councillor Kenny, would you like to comment?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just find it difficult to realise that we have an opposition here that were formerly in control of the Borough Council. We came up with a date of 2040 with no financial plan and no plan whatsoever, and now the last people on it. So many people have not stood up when speaking. They need to stand up when speaking in the mess in the city. Thank you.
Without any costing plan in 2019, but in the 4 years of office, failed to produce a costing plan as to how that would be achieved by 2040.
It's not true.
I'm sorry, it is. There has been no costing plan up to now. The fact is that we intend to produce a costing plan, but we have not had the staffing and resources to enable us to do that up until this point. The second thing I want to say is that this is a target. A target is something that you aim for. It's not saying that whatever happens, we will spend whatever is needed to achieve this. The fact is, we will give this a high priority. It is part of our corporate plan. We will investigate what measures are needed in every section of the council in order to achieve these objectives, and we will do our best. That's what it's about, doing our best to achieve it by 2035. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Madam Mayor, thank you very much indeed. Thank you for the comments for the floor. And yes, I'm pleased that you've answered my question, that you are actually going to produce a costed plan. I look forward to seeing you.
So this is a vote in favour of accepting the amendment, Madam Mayor.
One, two, three, four, six.
Against.
Magic money trees. Come to mind.
Stop muttering.
I wasn't muttering, it was very audible. It's magic money trees come.
Muttering.
It's not muttering. You can hear it.
That's the original motion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I just want to reassure those who may be listening to this debate that there is no danger of the council going bankrupt. And it's a pity there was some alarmist talk about the potential for going bankrupt if we follow this policy. It makes it quite clear in paragraph 6.1 that the sources available will be dependent on applications for external grant funding. We will not be pouring loads of money in an unthinking manner and into this pot, as it were. So there is no danger whatsoever of the council going bankrupt in any way, shape or form as a result of this policy. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hawke. Thank you,
Madam Mayor. It just beggars belief that we're all here tonight talking about something as important as climate change, the threat to our planet. It's just batting backwards and forwards. Why are we trying to score certain points that just aren't valid? This is extremely important. We've spoken about the finances. Councillor Pearce has clearly pointed out about the finances. I am ashamed. I hope you go home tonight and speak to your children and your grandchildren and joke as much as you have been doing about how great it is to try and stop this going through. It's outrageous. Now come on, stop trying to make cheap political points here. This is climate change. The earth is burning. It's serious. Get real.
When you've got control of the council, I'm aware of one of the first things that happened was some lawnmowers were bought at a considerable cost to the council. And I know that that was done in good faith, but the result of what's happened to that is it's breaking up footpaths and it's stopping the edging being done properly. And the more expensive lawnmowers that were bought, for good reason, haven't achieved what it was that they were supposed to be achieving, in that the footpaths are now more broken, more one way, and I've had significant complaints about that. So sometimes more money can be spent on something to achieve a target, and it actually does the opposite, and I think there's a real danger that when these things are put in place. At the moment, as Councillor Phillips just said, there isn't any clear aims and objectives with this. And by not doing that, we're kind of talking high in the sky rather than something specific. I hope
mention of Borough Council's financial man. I thought that was very helpful. I would just like to ask a direct question of Councillor Cook. How much has the council spent in the last 2 years from reserves in direct response to the point that he made?
Thank you, Councillor Wood. Any more questions?
Is he going to answer it?
I don't have to, Mr. Mayor, Madam Mayor, but I'm willing to say that we have, so our reserves are very adequate. We have been spending some of them in very sensible manners, as the council will know, because we've reported that to the council, and we intend to continue in that vein and not be reckless in any way.
Friends and opinions.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, Councillor Pearce has the right to reply. Is there anyone to speak before?
I'm sorry,
I'd like to ask now with questions across the floor, I'd like to ask the Leader of the Opposition how much money the previous administration spent on climate change and what was their plan?
The most time with young people who currently are not eligible to vote due to their age, almost everybody here. I'm also one of the youngest members in this chamber, and I could not in good conscience face those hundreds of teenagers every single day, knowing that I would have voted to restrict our action on climate change as a local authority. When we are elected as representatives of the residents of Stafford Borough, we're elected as residents for all of them, not just the people who vote, not just the people who are eligible to vote, but all of them. We also have a responsibility to protect this borough long into the future. That means having a habitable planet to live on. That means doing absolutely as much as we possibly can in what is realistically a very short window of time to address climate change. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of the external grant funding that we are applying for and seeing this issue addressed with the urgency it deserves. Because unfortunately, it doesn't appear that everyone thinks it's as urgent as I do and some other members in this room do. So I'm going to be very proud to vote for this in a moment's time, and I hope you will all join us, because unfortunately, the future generations will not forgive you for slowing down on this issue. They're going to face the full brunt of this if you do not support it. So that's my conclusion.
Well said.
Thank you,
Mr. Carter.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've just got a question, really. I don't understand whether we're talking about the Borough Council and its assets, or whether we're talking about the wider community of the borough itself, because the talk has been, the implication of the talk has been that we're talking about our obligations across the borough, or the obligations of the people of the borough across the borough, which I agree that all these issues, nobody is more passionate about climate change and nature recovery than I am, but I'm actually finding it quite difficult to understand whether we're talking about the Borough Council here.
I can respond to that, Madam Mayor. No,
that's my next
slide.
Is this just a five-eyes as the right to comply? Just one share the mouse wants to speak.
I can answer the question. The question was whether this is just about what the council does, or is it the wider staff of the borough? This is primarily about what the council does. It does refer to the wider community, things that we will do to encourage the wider community and support them, for example, funding to businesses to assist them in becoming carbon neutral and so on. That is from external funding. We've already undertaken some activity with schools. But the primary objective here is about ensuring that we as a council achieve the target of net zero by 2035. And
that's assuming we're not Polish.
Well, we can make no assumptions about what will happen to the council one way or another. We can only deal with the situation as it is now. The here and now, that is the reality.
So
I'm sorry, I'm not going to enter into a conversation. I'm sorry. Okay. You've asked a question,
no,
and I've tried to answer it to the best of my ability.
I'm
going to
say thank you, that's the answer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Davis.
Any more comments from the deputy or actual
clients?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think it's been pointed out several times that when this council agreed to adopt a target of 2040, there was no costed plan in place. And indeed, during the whole of the time of that council, there was certainly no costed plan brought forward. I would like to see a costed plan, but I do not want to wait until that is produced before we begin to take action. Because there are many things that we can be doing, many things that we have already done. Solar panels on the roofs of the two leisure centres, drastically reducing the amount of carbon being produced, but also saving a great deal of money. And these are the things that are going to be looked at. If you look at paragraph 14 of this 514 of the report, we have secured funding through the UKSPF to support the development of decarbonisation plans across both councils. Stage one will review the assets across both councils and their suitability towards decarbonisation. A priority list will be created to show those where significant savings can be made by reducing energy consumption, etc. We're not going to hang about on this. We want to achieve net zero as fast as we can and no later than 2035. Thank you, Madam.
Can I ask for a name vote? I think it's very important that the residents know that who didn't vote to vote.
So, Madam Mayor, members have asked for name vote, so I will call each member's name in alphabetical order. When you hear your name, you clearly state whether you are for, against, or you abstain from the proposal. If you have any things to begin with, you can. Councillor Gareth Jones?
Abstain.
Steve Jones.
Abstain.
Mr. Kenny.
For.
Mr. Leeson.
For.
Councillor Loughran.
For.
Councillor McKeown.
For.
Councillor Norton.
For.
Councillor A. Nixon.
For.
Councillor J. Nixon.
For.
Councillor L. Nixon. Councillor Hardaisy.
For.
Councillor Pearce.
For.
Councillor Pert.
Abstain.
Councillor Phillips.
Abstain.
Councillor Powell.
For.
Councillor Reed.
For.
Councillor Rose.
For.
Councillor Lozell.
For.
Sandyford.
For.
Councillor Spencer.
For.
Councillor Thorley.
For.
Councillor Williamson.
Abstain.
Jenny Barrett, retired from Council Chamber.